continued interest in your prayers as we notice Psalms 133 and 134 tonight. These will be the last of the Songs of Degrees. So we've been kind of starting out by casting it into the idea of the songs that these pilgrims and strangers would sing along their journey and their return. So Psalm 133, I've titled it, How Pleasant to Dwell Together in Unity. Isn't that wonderful? The people that are diverse, different backgrounds, different likes, different dislikes, different whatever, can come together and worship together and be united in faith. So this is the 13th of the Song of Degrees. This psalm would remind the pilgrims and strangers, perhaps as they prepared to return home, of how good and pleasant it is for God's people to dwell together in unity. What a wonderful blessing that God has so designed that the closer we follow Him, the more unity and peace we enjoy. Now, isn't that true? Closer we are to the Lord. I like to think of it like a wheel, God being the hub. The closer we get to Him, the closer we are to one another. All right? So that's just the way it is. That's a good rule to remember. So when if we happen to be lacking a little bit in unity, or if our own heart seems to be wayward from the mind of the church, then that's we need to be thinking, well, wait a minute. I know the problem here. All right? So unity and how pleasant it is. So verse 1 says, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. While this may have been the pilgrim's song as they prepared to make their journey home, we today can relate to this sentiment when we're about to depart from the presence of loved ones. You know, I pause here from the notes, but I can think back in my earlier memories of times when we'd go to the association and that last song that they'd sing at that association, usually, what is my dearest friends, and or God be with you till we meet again. All right, well, it's nice to have good thoughts when we depart from one another's presence, but it's far better to have that good and pleasant unity while we're together. All right? What's that little quip? To dwell above with saints. Let's see, to dwell. What? Yeah, to dwell above with the saints above will all be grace and glory. But to dwell below with saints we know can be another story. Isn't that true? Well, the more heavenly minded we are, better off we'll be down here below. So, not just when we're departing from one another's presence, but while we're dwelling together, and especially in the house of the Lord. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Sad to say, brethren don't always dwell together in unity. But when our hearts are set upon the Lord, the closer we are to Him, that's what we need. If we realize that the greatest thing we have in common is God's love in our hearts, then we realize we have an even greater bond than the love a family shares. Now, I'm thankful for families. I'm thankful for the love that God's designed for the family to bring us up in a nurturing environment. And it breaks my heart to see young families and having such problems where that doesn't happen. But God's design was for us to have that nurturing environment, to know the love of a family. Doesn't always appear that way. But the more we mature in our love for the Lord and understanding of His Word, the more we can appreciate being brethren in God's family. Sister Nancy and I, when we left this area and moved to Texas, got out there, no family for hundreds of miles. And it was different for both of us. We've always been close to family. But the Lord blessed us with a wonderful church and a good spirit there. And we grew a lot, and we understood a lot more about the church and the love that God's people are to have one to another. And that's so wonderful that God has blessed us with that blessing here. Oh, we know it's going to be wonderful in heaven, but it can be good here too. What a blessing. So, we are brethren, not by natural birth, but by the grace of God. The grace of God. All right? None of us have deserved to be in the family, but we all have received a love which is unconditional and eternal. Now, isn't that wonderful? John said in John 3, Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I should have put that in the notes, shouldn't I? What manner of love? It's unconditional. Aren't you glad that's the way it is? There's plenty of conditions he could have had with me. He might have found one or two with you. But it's unconditional. And it's eternal. I tell you, that just warms our heart to think about that. God's love is eternal. He doesn't start loving and quit. If he set his love upon us, he may not love some of the things we do, but he still loves us and sent his Son to redeem us from our sins. All right? So, his love is unconditional and eternal. And while God's love is greater than we can ever return, he commands us that we should apply ourselves to loving one another as he loved us. Now, that's a high bar. But that's what we strive for, isn't it? To love one another as he's loved us. All right? Now, that's John 13:34. A new commandment I write unto you. As I have loved you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you. That's a tall order. But that's how we should love each other. He has loved us unconditionally. He has loved us eternally. And we should strive to love one another as he loves us. Because how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Okay? All right. That's the basis for our unity. So having been anointed by the Spirit of God with the love of God, we are drawn to one another. All right? And the more of God's love that is flowing freely among us, the stronger it will draw us together and unify us as his family, seeking his mercy, following his word, worshiping in his house, and glorifying his great name. That's our job as disciples, isn't it? All of those things, with God being at the center of our focus, of our affections, of everything. And the closer we are to him, closer we'll be to one another. And you know, I tell you, when the church doesn't have that, that's sad, isn't it? Because, you know, other folks has got programs to keep folks entertained and interested and all those kinds of things. We've got preaching, praying, and singing. And if it's not in the Spirit, and if it's not in love, and that love's not flowing, it won't be much to pull us together, is it? If we're not rallying around the gospel and our Lord and what he's done for us, we don't have much else to offer, do we? All right? So, it's greatly needed. So he says, behold this. Behold. Stop and think about it. Don't pass over this too quickly. Behold how good and how pleasant. All right? Don't take it lightly. This is a tremendous blessing. This is the glue that will keep the local body of the church dwelling together. Now, you can be in the same room and not be together. Right? All right? If everybody's thinking about their own things, you know, you could have a house full of folks here, but if their mind is on the things of the world, they're not together. They may be in the same room, but they're not together in the Lord. All right? What is it? Acts chapter 3, when James and John went up to the temple to pray, they went together. You think of thoughts like that, and sometimes a sermon you've heard years ago comes to mind. Elder Ronald Lawrence one time preached on that, talked about how they went up to the temple together to pray, and they were together. And that's what we need to be. If we're going to be in unity, if we're going to enjoy the sweetness of that unity, we got to be together, together. Okay? So this is the glue that keeps the local body dwelling together. When our priority is to love God and seek His will, then His love will lead us in peace and unity in all of our dealings with each other. All right? There's no secret why loving God is the first and great commandment. It might be a secret to some, but it ought not to be to God's people. It's the first and great commandment. Even the Jews recognize that was, they recognize that as the first and great commandment. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. One of the writers in the New Testament said, all thy might. Okay? That covers it, doesn't it? All right? To love God first, supremely. All right? Without it, we have nothing to hold us together. All right? But with it, we can enjoy all of the blessings that flow down from Him. I mean, that's really the sum and substance of godliness. It's the love of God that He's given to us that we need to share to others. Didn't Jesus say, if you love me, keep my commandments? If you love me, keep my commandments. That love that we have for Him coming out from us. And He gave it to us. We need to share it with others. You know, isn't that we've said this before, but isn't that the only way to keep a lot of love is to give it away? I like that thought. A way to have a lot of love is to give it away. Give it away. It'll grow. All right? That's what God did for us, isn't it? All right. So those who have this goal in common will enjoy blessings together in the unity of love. Love for God, love for one another. Didn't Jesus say on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets? That's it. It's briefly comprehended in this. I shall love thy neighbors, I said. All right. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. Notice he repeats the how. How good and how pleasant. It's both. And it's in great measure. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. All right? The measure here of how much is in direct proportion to how much the love of God is being experienced. Okay? We want unity. Well, get our mind and our heart on the Lord. When He's leading us, He'll lead us together, won't He? He's not going to lead us in separate directions. Now, there may be things that you need that I don't need, and there'll be things I need you don't need. But as far as the leading of the Spirit and God's blessing us as a church, the closer we are to the Lord, the closer we'll be to one another. And it all centers around His love and loving Him. The more love to God we have, the more we'll dwell together in unity. But the more time we spend in thinking of ourselves, what's that going to do for us? The more we'll find to complain about. And that only works to divide and to alienate us. Now, that's not what Jesus came to do, was it? He came to reconcile, to make peace, to bring us together. It's that other feller that's busy trying to pull us apart, to tear down and to destroy. But when our mind is on the Lord and doing His will and drawing us together, then godliness will bring us together. Applying godliness will serve to draw us together and allow us to dwell together in sweet unity. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's something to be prized. That's something to be cherished. That's something to be, in the good sense, coveted. The unity of God's people, the love of God, and sharing it, applying godliness to our lives and sharing it with others. All right? So how good, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. All right? He gives us some figurative language here, some comparisons. He says it is like the precious ointment, it. Okay? We're still talking about the unity now and how sweet it is. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Couldn't go any farther, could he? All right? The sweetness of brethren dwelling together in unity is compared to that ointment which was used to anoint the priest to his office to the service of God. All right? It was only to be used for that purpose. In other words, that recipe was only to be used for that. Thus, those who knew that fragrance would recognize that it was from the servant of God who was doing his service to God. It had its own fragrance, its own sweet smell. That oil ran down. Ran down the beard and continued to flow all the way down to the skirts or the extent of his garments. What a picture of one doing the service of God and having the sweet smell of the love of God and fellowship with God flowing down and accompanying all of his work. Dwelling together in unity. You know that priest had to be doing according to the will of God for his service to be acceptable. All right, so that priest had certain garments to put on. And as priests of God, we are to put on certain things, aren't we? So think about that. He's still talking about the sweetness of dwelling together in unity. All right, Scripture has given a picture here of those oil that was anointed upon the priest. And, of course, the New Testament also gives us that picture that we're priests and kings to our God, aren't we? All right? So we ought to be anointed with something, shouldn't we? All right, that priest had certain garments to put on. And as priests to God, we're to put on certain things and walk in the Spirit to cause our service to be found a sweet savor unto the Lord and others. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14, Paul said, Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Sounds like there's some certain garments for the elect of God, doesn't it? All right. Put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. And that's what we are, aren't we? We sometimes fail in being holy. Sometimes we fail in being lovable. But God is holy. And He loves us. And His love for us is constant. All right? So put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. We need to remember that. The bowels of mercies, kindness. See, this is what should adorn us. We should be clothed in these things. When others see us, they should see that. Shouldn't they? All right. How are we to be clothed? Bowels of mercies. We could spend a lot of time on this verse alone, but having mercy. Now that's sweet, isn't it, when you can have mercy to others? Don't you enjoy the mercy that God gives to you? Well, then practice that in your life and let somebody else enjoy the sweetness of God's mercy coming from you. Clothed in it, bowels of mercies, kindness. Don't you appreciate a kind deed? Especially those unexpected kindnesses that come your way sometimes. Well, if you know that you appreciate it, why don't you instigate some of it? Be the bearer of some unexpected kindness sometimes. Be clothed with that kind of activity, humbleness of mind. I tell you, that's one of the great blessings, humbleness of mind. If you want to dwell together in unity, stay humble. Quickest way to destroy it is to be lifted up in pride, isn't it? Selfish. That'll destroy the unity quicker than anything. As quick as anything, I'll put it that way. Humbleness of mind, meekness. Meekness. Long-suffering. It may take more than three strikes before you're out. Be long-suffering. What if God gave us three strikes and then you're out? He's long-suffering. If we're going to be godly like Him, we need to be long-suffering. Suffer long with the circumstances at hand, forbearing one another, all right, and forgiving one another. Now, preacher, you're getting, that's a lot to ask, isn't it? Well, if you read that, he says it here, but I was thinking about the way he puts it in Ephesians chapter 4. He gives us the reason why we should be forgiving of others. And he says it here too. Even, let's say, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you. Now you stop right there and think about that. Even as. There's your how much. Even as Christ forgave you. How much did He forgive you? He's still forgiven. Because there's still a reason for Him to forgive us. We're still offending. And as long as we draw our breath, we'll probably still be offending. Somehow. So it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? Reckon that's why He's our mediator. Reckon that's why He's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us every day. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There's your homework. Part of it anyway. All right? And above all these things, he says, put on charity. Be clothed with it. We're priests. We've got certain garments we need to put on. The Old Testament, they had fine linen, embroidery. Beautiful. I'll tell you, it pales in comparison to one who's walking in a godly way, adorning Christ, putting on these things so that others can see Christ in you. No comparison, is there? Oh, there's nice things, finery as far as those priest's garments. It probably was nicer than anything you've ever seen. But I'm going to tell you, if we put on the garments that we should and show Christ to others, and bless your hearts, it'll be far, far more glorious than even the high priestly garments. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Mature, sweet, loving. Okay? Clothed with these garments, the full extent of our walk will be anointed of God. And it will serve to enable us as brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and pleasant that is. He has another comparison. He's talked about how good and how pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. Then he speaks about those garments and the how it was anointed and that fresh, or that sweet fragrance that came from that. Then he also compares it in verse 3 to the dew. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. As unity of the brethren was like the ointment that provided a sweet smell to those around them, so also will unity provide a refreshing and enlivening to the environment where it abounds. What would the grass look like if there was no dew, no rain? Be parched and dried up and withered away, wouldn't it? I understand that over in that part of the world, the dew was heavy, especially in Canaan's land. They had enjoyed. That's why one of the reasons why it was spoken of as a land of full of milk and honey, because there was a sufficient amount of dew. Hermon was higher than Jerusalem, and it would descend in such a way that there'd be a heavy dew. There was lush pastures. And the children of Israel, being shepherds, right? They needed pasture for the sheep. So that dew provided, and I understand in reading what folks have said, what is that? I'm probably a lot of you have read that song or that book, A Shepherd's View of the 23rd Psalm. If you've read it, I know you enjoyed it. But one of the things that it talked about was the dew that the sheep, when there was a good dew, the sheep could make it on that without having to find water elsewhere. So he's comparing this to the dew. Well, how does the dew come? Again, I don't have this in the notes, but just think about the principle of how the dew just distills from the air, doesn't it? Isn't that miraculous? Isn't God tremendously wise to design such a system that the dew could just come right out of the air and distill upon the grass to refresh and revive? Oftentimes, dew in scriptures represents mercy, God's mercy upon us. So, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Like the dew, getting back to the notes here, like the dew from Hermon that descended upon Jerusalem, miraculously, God sends from his endless supply to enliven and refresh those faithful ones who dwell together in unity. Isn't it enlivening to be together in the Lord? If you've experienced those times when you're not together, oh, you can just wilt away, can't you? It's awful. And it's not the way God would have his church to be. 1st and foremost, we're to be looking to him. Together, looking to him. Let him be the guide. And then we're looking at the Lord and what he's done for us and rejoicing in those things. There's every reason to be happy in the Lord. Okay. All right. So that was Psalm 133. Now, let's move ahead to Psalm 134. This is the 14th and the last of the Song of Degrees. This psalm would provide a farewell to the city of Jerusalem as the pilgrims departed it on their journey home. It is a prayer to bless and encourage those who labor in the house of the Lord. Think about those pilgrims. They made their journey to Jerusalem. But in one of the previous psalms, we talked about what kind of a journey or how would they feel if they, when they got to Jerusalem, that there was no peace. And so what a joy it was for them to make that journey and to find the house of the Lord in good repair and the service of the Lord being done in the right way. All right? So thinking back to their experience, and this would be their parting, upon their departure, their prayer for the welfare of Zion. By the way, in the previous verse 3 of the previous psalm, the mountains of Zion, of course, that was where the area where Jerusalem was then, but in the New Testament, it points us to the church, doesn't it? Zion, the church. Place for us to dwell in unity today, all right? So, 134 then would be a prayer to bless and encourage those who labor in the house of the Lord. Verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Wherever they are, we need to be praying for all who labor in the service of God. I'm sure that every generation has faced their challenges, but I particularly ask you to be praying for God's servants today. There's a lot of ways Satan is making inroads. And it's always been the need to be praying for the servants of the Lord, but it's especially true in our day. To encourage them in their service and to do all we can to lift them up and strengthen them. Not just the ordained ministry, but all who serve the Lord. All of us. We need to be praying for one another. Praying that we'd let our light shine. Praying that we would be faithful to God. Pray that we would labor for peace in the house of the Lord. All those things that we need to be as faithful disciples of the Lord. We need to be praying, especially praying for the ministry. We all need encouragement to keep holding forth the word of life as we stand against this crooked and perverse nation in which we live. Is it any question that we live in a crooked and perverse nation? No. No, Paul wrote that to the Philippians, that we should shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We should be holding forth the word of life. Can you think of a time in this nation where when it was any more needful for us to be holding forth the truth of God's word. Why, it's being assaulted on every hand, isn't it? Marriage is being assaulted. You know, they've destroyed our schools. Now they're attacking marriage relentlessly to destroy the families. You know, I mean, it just seems systematic to me, you know, at what they're attacking. And it's so needful. Now, again, just like Jesus didn't teach his disciples to overthrow Rome, but to be faithful, to live faithfully, to live according to truth, to be as good an influence as we can, to be as bright a light as we can. That's our job as disciples. He's the one with the power. He's the one that can change the hearts of men and women. Kind of like Elder Sam Bryant said years ago, back when you know, all our eyes was on Russia and what Russia might be doing. Now, we're not too concerned about Russia today, are we? But he said, you know, under their system, this man over there was bragging about their communist system and how that it could put a new suit on every man. And the Christian preacher that he was listening to that, he said, well, in America, that was back then, in America, we believe in a God that could put a new man in every suit. Oh, would that it was so in our country today. And so all the more reason for us to be faithful. Be bright lights. Be faithful to God. It'll be seen. If nothing else, God sees. He knows. All right? All right, back to the notes. We all need encouragement to keep holding forth the word of life as we stand against this crooked and perverse nation in which we live. Day and night, we need praises, prayers, and tireless devotion to our God as we strive together to keep the faith. If we're striving together to keep the faith, there's no reason why we shouldn't be enjoying sweet unity. But in this psalm, it's a prayer for encouraging all those in service to the Lord. We may not all have a calling to preach. We may not all be ordained, but we all have a ministry we could do. Somehow, there's some way that we can minister to others. May we be diligent to do that. All right. Verse 2. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Doesn't he need all the praise that we can generate? Now, he's never going to be any better than he is. He's never going to be any more glorious than he is. But we can certainly give him more praise. We can certainly stretch our minds to understand more of his glory. Moses begged the Lord to show me thy glory. If Moses needed to see it, don't you think we need to see it tonight? And tomorrow? And the next day? And the next? Sure we do. We need to see God's glory. He cannot be any more glorious than he is. And we can't describe how glorious he is now. But we need to stretch our mind and we need to move our tongue in professing how glorious that he is. That's our job. God's done his job, and he does it perfectly, and he'll always do it. But we need to be thanking him and praising him. All right, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, more than ever, we need to be pulling together, walking together, and worshiping God together in his house. The more I travel and visit with other congregations and other preachers and learn about how things are, the concept of the local assembly and the responsibility to be in church where your membership is. That concept is suffering greatly in our culture today. I'm talking about God's people. There are too many other things that's drawing their attention and time from the local assembly. And the witness of the local assembly is suffering because of it. So we need to be remember how we need to be working together. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Paul wrote in Romans 13, verses 11 through 14, and that knowing the time, do you know the time tonight? I don't mean what your watch says. Do we understand the times? They are evil, aren't they? We could get off on that for a long time, couldn't we? Knowing the time. Well, knowing the time, is it a time to be faithful? Is it a time to be pulling together in the house of the Lord? Is it a time to be encouraging others in the Lord? Knowing the time, that now it is high time. What's high time? Those are all good meanings. I think I heard one, Elder Sonny Pyle, first time I ever heard somebody try to explain high time, and his point was, just before it's too late. Can it be too late with God? Well, God to do what he wants to, when he wants to, for whom he will. But we miss opportunities. Sometimes the door gets closed on opportunities. God can do what he wants to, but he's told us what we should do, and we should know the time. Knowing the time, that it's now, it's high time. In other words, it's time to get with it. We know it. We know what's needed. Are we doing it? That it's high time to awake out of sleep. You know, looking at what's happened in our country today, sometimes I ask myself, how could this have happened? Somebody's been asleep. And maybe that somebody is me. How could this have happened? How could we have become outnumbered when God's been so good to this nation? When God is still so good to this nation, when he's blessed us so abundantly. Somebody says, God bless America. My question is, hasn't he already blessed America? Abundantly? And what have we done about it? So it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. How long have you believed in the Lord? How long ago has it been that he's given you his Spirit and blessed you to know him and love him? No matter how long it's been, it's undeniable that our salvation is nearer. Now, we're talking about when he comes again. But when we realize the time, and when we realize what we need to be doing, then now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to do something about it. He is coming. And his second coming is closer now than it ever has been, isn't it? That ought to be encouraging enough. I don't know how long it'll be before he comes back. No man knoweth the time, the day, or the hour. We don't know that. But we do know it's closer. He's not going to delay it. He has a certain time. He's coming. He knows when that is. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, he says, we don't know, but he does. He knows when that's going to be. So if he said, no man knoweth but the Father, he knows when it's going to be. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. All right. It's high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness like a garment, being clothed with the wrong kind of things. Okay. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness. You know, those are ungodly desires. Okay. Not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. But how much of that is being done? Is this a needful text? Does it need to be preached in our day? Certainly it does. So worship God. And then verse 3. The Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. Well, he's the only one that can bless us, isn't he? All right. Today, Zion is the church. Not the building, but the assembly of the saints. The Lord is our only help. And he is limitless in that help. Whatever we need, he can provide. We're called by his grace, then seek his kingdom first. And what was the promise? If we'd seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And all these things can be added to you? No, it's better than that, isn't it? And all these things shall be added unto you. What things? What's that?
Whatever you need.
There you go. That covers it, doesn't it? You mean God's able to do that? Sure he is. Would you like for him to do that? He gave you the condition. He gave you the condition. If we're not enjoying that, something's wrong. He didn't give you a bad condition. We're the ones coming short. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That makes it personal, doesn't it? We have a wonderful God. He is able. May God help us to encourage one another. Pray for those in the service of the Lord. Pray for each other. Let our light shine. All those things that's encompassed in seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I submit to you that the reason this nation is in the shape that it's in, it's because a lot of God's people have been seeking something else first instead of the Lord. All right. That concludes the Song of Degrees. Okay. Someone have a number to close with? We do. I'm sure there's some of you know it better than I do.